continue reading the second part of James here. We have a tight program. Let's read from verse 14 to 26. 14 to the end. Brothers can start, and then the sisters, each one verse, switching. Grenzwertig. Aber ich kann noch ein bisschen weitermachen. Aber der macht jetzt weiter als bis um 11, oder? Viertelstunde.
Meinst du, der ist fertig in der Viertelstunde?
Okay. Musst du wissen. Abwechselnd? Abwechselnd? In terms. And this is the message, the last verse 26. Then, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. There's not more to say, that's all. Lord, give us such a living faith. At this conference, we have to speed it up a bit with the word, because we have a lot to read and to practice. The burden is not to go into each detail, each point into detail, but to open the doors for all the saints to exercise this word afterwards. We want to hear it during the conference, and we want to do it or practice it when we're home, but we can also start practicing now. We don't have to wait so long. And it's also a good exercise for us all to hear the Lord. Amen. In verse 14, I enjoyed very much how James starts. What is does it profit? I often ask this question. What does it profit? What does it profit if we have so much knowledge and teaching but we can't do the word? What does it profit if we know how much the Father has forgiven us, but if I see a brother who has done me a small wrong, I cannot forgive him? What does it profit, as George showed us just now? There is no profit here. What does it profit if I know much and or everything about the priestly serving in the Bible, but I have no desire to serve God as a priest? There's no profit. What's the profit to hear this conference but not to do this work? We can stay home. Okay, some are home, but I mean, you can turn off Zoom because it's without profit. We all believe in the Lord, but if there are no works, this faith becomes unprofitable, useless. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? Can such a faith save us? Such a faith without works? In verse 20 it says, but do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Can you say that? Faith without works is dead or useless? In verse 24, you see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. Faith only. How are you justified? How will you be justified, become? If today you invite a friend to the meeting and you say, praise the Lord, do you want to be saved? Yes, how? How will you be saved? Through faith? Verse 24. You've seen then that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone or faith only. It's not my word. These are not my words. It's what James said. Let's read again Ephesians 2. Starting from verse 8. Now, this was from James. Now we read what Paul said. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourself. It is God's gift. And now verse 9. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. What's right now? Who's right here? Paul or James? James says, not through faith alone, but through works. Paul says, not through works, so you will not boast yourself. Did we find a mismatch in the Bible? What's right? Both are correct. It's God's word. Of course, if it's about being born again and someone hasn't received the Lord yet, then this being saved is only through grace and through faith. But James is not speaking about being born again. He's speaking of the perfection as a Christian. This is the difference. We must not think that as a Christian everything will be fine after we are born again, and we just have to wait till we enter heaven and then it's done. It's not that easy. If we think like this, James will tell us faith without works is dead. Righteousness, being righteous, and for the entry into the kingdom we need works, and these works need to come out of faith. If there are no works, our faith is useless. It doesn't help us at all. James might ask then, what's the difference between demons? Demons also believe that there is God. They even fear or shake because of God, the fear of God. Because then there would not be any difference. Demons do not have works, but they have belief. But it doesn't help them. It's useless to them. Therefore, we have to see. James speaks of the perfection He's not speaking about the beginning of salvation, but for the complete salvation. Don't have to be saved from eternal damnation. That's clear. We are saved from this after we're born again. But can we forgive each other our unmercifulness against our preference against the saints or our own family? That's what we need to be saved from. That's why we need the works, because else there will not be any salvation. James is such a practical word. He gives us three wonderful examples. The first one was about the poor brother or sister without clothes, lacking the daily food. This example shows us our personal Christian life. It's very basic and normal to have this attitude. If someone amongst the saints has a need, that we don't ignore this need. That's completely normal and is part of our Christian life. I think if we truly are reborn and the Spirit lives in us, and we are here in the church, how can we not have mercy with each other? It's impossible that if we see someone who has a need, go in peace, do your thing, I will pray for you, goodbye. Does anyone of you do that? In the past time, many of us were ill. Almost all of us were ill at one or the other point time. And it was so wonderful to see how the saints, so many saints, have a heart to come and to cook and do this and that. Nobody had to say anything to them. My house was ill as well. We couldn't do anything. We were just sitting around, didn't do anything. And all of a sudden there was a pot on our veranda and a bowl in the kitchen and something else in the kitchen. You could ask, where did it come from? The saints have such a heart to carry each other if there's a necessity. Recently a sister told us, I'm ill, I cannot stand up, but I don't have anything to eat. Can you bring something to me? Shall I tell her, I'm going to pray for you? The Lord is there, go in peace, eat, drink, and be happy. You think that's what we do? No. I think everyone who has a sense for the Lord and loves Him will immediately drive there and cover this need. That's normal. And that's what the Lord already worked in us. Hebrews 6 verse 10. For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love which you have shown toward His name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. It's wonderful, this love that comes in us to serve the saints, especially when there is a material need or outer need. It's good to learn to immediately cover this need. In the past months or even the past years, the Lord has given us a few wonderful opportunities to do this. We heard of quite a few needs of the saints, and I can really testify and thank the Lord. The Lord, without hesitation, give us a burden to cover this need. Lord loves someone who enjoys to give. If you want to be loved by the Lord, don't give with nagging of teeth, but with joy, full of joy. This is a part of our Christian life. It's a very basic example of our Christian being. But that's not all. James does not stay with this example. He speaks about Abraham in verse 21. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? That's the completion. It's quite easy if we see a need of someone to cover this need. It's kind of easy because it's basic and it's normal. But your only born Isaac, to offer your only born Isaac on the altar, is that easy? I'm gonna read again the verse in First Genesis 22:1. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested our Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, Here I am. Then he said, Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love. What an addition. And go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. I'm always surprised about this addition that God has made here. He extra said, especially said, whom you love. Of course he loves him. God doesn't have to say this, but God says, whom you love. Why? It's about perfection. It's not so easy to give something away which you love. It's not so difficult for me to drive to the sister and buy her a few bread rolls. I did that because of my love to the Lord, truly. But to give something away which I love, my Isaac, that's not so easy. Every one of us has an Isaac. I don't know what your Isaac is. But some kind of Isaac every one of us has. Something that is so dear to him and which he holds on so tight. It's nearly impossible to give it up. Nearly impossible. It's similar to this example with the rich. Matthew 19. Asking him, the Lord, this young man, what he should do to enter the kingdom, and tells him all the laws, and then he says, all of this I've kept, what else should I do? And now Jesus asks him, do you want to be perfected? It's not just about the salvation in the beginning, but the Lord wants to make us complete, perfected for the coming back of the Lord. So the Lord speaks to him. So if you want to be perfected, go sell everything that you have and give it to the poor and follow me. This was this man's Isaac. Was it easy for him here to give up his Isaac? When the young man heard this word, these words, he was happy and gave away his Isaac. No, he went away sadly because he was rich. It's easy to do something outwardly on the outside for the Lord. But at a certain point, like with Abraham, the Lord will ask from us the one thing that is dear to us. The Lord will not ask your rubbish of you. Come, Rainer, give me your rubbish. Okay, here you go. Surely. No, but the thing that you love. Are we still willing to give this? Sometimes our soul life is so dear to us. I can support you all with bread rolls. But my soul life and myself is so dear to me. I will not give this up for you. Even if the church will go down because of it, I will still hold on to myself, my old being. I cannot apologize. I cannot say I'm sorry. I cannot forgive you. Why? Because my old being, I love it so much. My own justice, I cannot give it up. Being right, it's impossible. You can ask everything from me, but you cannot take my righteousness of me. Impossible. If I'm like that, then that proves I have not reached perfection yet. I still have to exercise. There are many more small trials which I have to go through till I reach perfection. Philippians 3, verse 7. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. It's not the way around. Oh Lord, I give you my rubbish or my loss, that I may gain you. Yes, we can give everything to the Lord, but at this point of maturity, what was gained to me, what I loved, are we prepared to give this up, or are we clinging onto it so much that we have no way to give it up? Paul was ready. I counted it as loss for Christ. Which businessman does that? To count loss as gain? No normal man would do this. But if we want to reach perfection and our faith shall reach full maturity, then we have to learn from this example of Abraham. And saints, the encouragement is Abraham did not reach this point immediately. God not asked God to Abraham to accomplish this trial at the beginning. No. Through many small steps, point for point, step by step, the Lord gave him situations through which he was able to learn to reach this point. And on this path we are today as well. If you look at Abraham in the beginning, he was sitting in a land, Babylon, full of idol worshipping. There he was, probably like all his relatives, serving idols. And from this country, God called him, come out of it, from your country and your relatives. Did he immediately come out of there? Praise the Lord, let's go out of here. No. Luckily, his father was there. His father, Terach, took him by the hand and said, come, we're leaving this place now, and took him with to Haran. Sometimes we need this as well. It's not a, a faith with works, but a faith with help. It's not bad either. So let's not quarrel and be evil if someone takes us by the hand and says, come, let's go. Move out of this land and your relatives, which is into a land which is much better than this idol worshipping country. Don't say, oh, what, who are you? I know it better. No, we have to sometimes move out of this fallen land. So we see sometimes we also need help. And the Lord also uses this. When they reached Haran, the God of glory appeared him once more and told him the same thing again. Move out of your country, of this land, into a land which I will show you. And now we might think, oh, finally Abram learned the lesson and now he left. He's going to leave this place, Haran. Yes, he left it, but not immediately. He was a bit slow. The Lord called him, but he didn't immediately come. God had to wait until Abram's father died. And when Abram's father died, then Abraham moved out of the Haran. The one who pulled him out before was the one who didn't want to leave Haran. Sometimes this is our experience as well. We also have to see sometimes the Lord has to wait till we are ready. A short time ago we asked ourselves, why are the signs of time coming so slowly? We are waiting for the sign that the Lord is coming now. And for all of us, it takes a bit too long till we see the next sign. And we all ask, how much longer do I have to wait? When I read this story, or I realized why it takes so long. We are too slow. Like Abraham, he sits there in Haran and says, oh, it's not so bad here. Praise the Lord. Amen. And so God has to wait and wait until his father died. And thank God, then he finally kept on moving. And at one point, he reached this trial where God asked his Isaac for him. And because he went through many small trials beforehand, he was able to be successful during this trial. Is it not great? Abraham is the father of our faith. Amen. The last example that James brings, we might not have expected this. We have the beginning, but the basic faith and covering of the needs. And we have Abraham, who went all the way to perfection. And then there's a third one. And I think I personally would have kept this out. But thank God, praise the Lord, James did not leave this out. Verse 25. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? God has mentioned another example, the harlot Rahab. With Abraham, it was about the getting out, leaving. With Rahab, it's about entering into the good land. Many came out of Egypt back in the day from the people of Israel, but very few entered into the good land. And this needs to be a warning to us. We not just have to come out, but also we need to enter into the good land, like Rahab. Rahab didn't have a good past. She was a harlot, and everyone in the city knew her. But by her works, God set aside her entire past. Her faith in her works destroyed her entire past. Is that not wonderful? Do you not want to have such works? And God, like George said, will take away your list and cleanse your past. Praise the Lord. At the time where Rahab was living in Jericho, the entire city knew that soon the Israelites would come to overtake the city. And Rahab told this to the spies. The entire city knows about you, and we know that you will come soon. And we fear you. So the entire city was shaking before Israel, but they didn't do anything. Rahab was also shaking, but she did something. That's the difference. Very often the Lord speaks something to us, and it takes hold of us inwardly, and we get this fear of God. But do we do something then? Do we change something? If not, then we are like the rest of Jericho. They also have faith, but no works. And these works that Rahab did here are part of the goal of God. It's not just works for herself and her own salvation. At the end, Rahab was an ancestor of the Lord. She's a part of his family tree. So God was able to save and change this harlot and make her an ancestor of Jesus. So we have to see, faith without works is dead. But if we have these works of faith, then God's will continue. Praise the Lord. Amen. Almost on time. We can now have a break.